I've still got Purim on my mind. First of all, because that's the way it's supposed to be. You don't forget Purim so easily, at least if it made some kind of a reishim on you. And also because I had a very interesting discussion with a friend a couple of nights ago, and I want to share that with you because the issues are interesting issues, and it's something to think about. The thing that I discussed with him was the question of the position that tshuva played in the story of Purim. There was the sakona, the hashmid, l'arog, l'abed that Haman HaRosha planned for us, and then Motcha v'Esther were able, through the Rebbe Nisham's help, to bring about the tshuva. We know the story. Now, did the Yidden do tshuva in the middle, and was the ultimate Yeshua a result of that tshuva? Now, the reason why I had this discussion was because I saw in a number of places that people who wrote about Purim took on as a matter of course that it was tshuva generated, that in between the sakona and the Yeshua, the people had done tshuva, and that the Yeshua, which the Rebbe Nisham saved us, came about as a result of that tshuva. Now, there is, of course, the Chazal that everybody knows, that G'doylo Hasoras Tabas Yoysa Mimemches Nevi'im and the six Nevi'os Sha'amdu Yisrael, because the Nevi'im had not been able to generate a tshuva by the Yidden, and the Hasoras Tabas did. So that certainly implies that there was a tshuva involved. Nevertheless, I have always held that that was not in any way relevant to the actual Yeshua which came. I maintain that the Yeshua which the Rebbe Nisham gave us on Purim was not generated by a tshuva of the people. And my reason for saying that is a very simple one, and that is that the Torah Megillah doesn't say a word about it. It simply does not mention, even in hint, as far as I can see, that the people did tshuva. We do have the Tanis, which the people fasted before Esther went to Ahasuerus, but Esther was very clear about what the purpose of that Tanis was. Esther said, "V'tzumu olai, you should fast for me." She was going to this crazed monster Ahasuerus, who was totally unpredictable and just a total disaster, and she was risking a great deal in going into him, and she felt that she needed the suyas of the whole of the Yidden who were there to fast and to daven to the Rebbe Nishlalam that everything should be okay. But there's no hint that that fast was a tainus of tshuva. It doesn't say it. Now my contention is that it's impossible that something which is central to the story should not be mentioned in the story. It's a poshut zach, at least to me it seems a poshut zach, that if a certain nekuda, a certain something, was a real and necessary part of the plot, so then how can possibly the person who writes about the plot leave that out and leave that to an oral tradition? But that would mean that the story that he tells is incomplete. I mentioned to my friend that I had a thought about that also. Some of you may know that I did for Art Scroll, I did a few Sforim for Art Scroll, and one of them was Eov. And, of course, one of the big problems in Sefer Eov is that it sounds as though Eov was exposed to many, many, many great sufferings, absolutely horrible kinds of sufferings, without being guilty of anything. It was just in order to answer the challenge of the Satan. Everybody knows the story, more or less. So I heard from somebody who said that, oh, Chazal give an answer to that. Because Chazal say, Shloisha hoyu ba'oisa etza, that there were three people involved in the etza of Paroi to be Meshabbat the Yidden and make us all into slaves. So then Bilam, Sheyoatz, was Nerak. Iyav Sheshosrak was Loko B'Yisurin, and Yisro Shorak, he came out okay. So we see that there was some guilt in Iyav, namely that he was quiet and didn't do what Iyav did, which was to run away. Now, I don't mean Iyav, Yisro did, to run away. So you have a sin, also it's very good. So Mimele, the Yisurim, which the Rebbein Hashem brought on Iyav, came about because of that sin. Now I can't be maskim to that. Why can't I be maskim to that? Because how can it be, if that is the explanation of the whole story of Iyav? You know, it's the fact that the Rebbein Hashem plagued Iyav with these terrible, terrible, terrible sufferings. That is the story. And the question is, now that the things are there, the Yisurim are there, so how does Iyav react? Oh, but how can you do this to him in the first place? That's a kasha. And the story is incomplete if it needs that he did this avera. And of course, in the Sefer Iyav, there's no indication whatsoever that he did such an avera. So then the story by itself simply doesn't make any sense. So what does the oral tradition help me? That's what seemed very poshut to me. So how could the Rebbein Shlalom plague him with these Yisurim if there's no Avera? For that one has to learn Sefer Iyav. That's not for me in your name or no. But to say that Sefer Iyav contains an unsolved kasha, which can only be solved by bringing another chazal in a completely different sugya, and that makes it okay, that I didn't want to be maskim to. And the same thing is over here with the tshuva. You need the tshuva if you need the tshuva. If you need the tshuva, that means if you hold that the Yeshua could not have come about without a tshuva, so then the tshuva is a necessary part of the story, and you cannot write a story where a necessary part is missing from the sefer, and we only know it from somewhere else. That was my contention. My friend was a Baruch Hashem, a strong arguer, and he said, no, I don't know whether that's true. Maybe in the Torah, there's no such klal. It's quite true that a living author who writes a book is not going to leave out a significant part of the plot and figure, well, maybe you'll read it up in some other book somewhere. Obviously, his story has to be complete and it has to be cohesive. It has to be coherent. But by the Rebbein Shlom, could be that if we have the Mesorah, and the Mesorah from our Chazal is such and such, so then it doesn't matter. Well, maybe he's right, I don't know. But my, just by every fiber of my being, it's a cliche, but I just don't see that. I don't see how anybody can tell a story and leave out the ikka, the kuda of the story, and rely on us getting it from somewhere else. See, it's different. Let's take, for example, by Reuven. So Chazal said, Yoshav Reuven el Haboer. Reuven came back to the Boer to see about Yosef. So where did he come from? Misako v'tanisa. He was doing tshuva on whatever he had done, and he was a bal tshuva. There's no remez in the Torah that he was a bal tshuva. So how can we know that he was a bal tshuva from something outside the actual story? The answer is because it has nothing to do with the story. The story is not altered by whether he came from having taken a nap or whether he came from Issachar v'Tarnisa. What's the difference? It makes absolutely no difference to the story. It's not a nekuda in the story. It's not a necessary nekuda in the story. So Mimela, it makes no difference. Chazal, of course, can have Yesoides b'Kabbalah about things which are not mentioned in Tanakh. That's not a problem. Of course, there are millions of things that Chazal tell us which we wouldn't know otherwise. But I'm talking about something which, without it, the story makes no sense. If you say that the Yeshua of Purim can only have come about because of a tshuva, so then it makes no sense to leave it out. And again, maybe it's the Tarnis of Esther, but it's not. Because that was with Tzumo Olai. If that Tzoyim would have been a Tzoyim of tshuva, I imagine that just like by Yoina, the Anshe Nineveh, when it says over there that they were Goyzer Tanis, so then it gives a very, very clear account of the tshuva which accompanied that Tanis. That's very good. That makes sense. So then if over here we would have heard, so everybody fasted on the request which Esther made, and they decided they'll never go and drink again by the Suda Achashverosh, they'll never bow down again to Hatzelem, whatever it is that the Avera was. So if we would have had some kind of a remes that the Tanis gave them the opportunity to do tshuva about that thing, so Shalom al Yisrael, everything is fine, but we don't have such a remes. As far as I know, we don't have such a remes. So, therefore, the Tanis, we must assume, was only that which the Sefer defines it as, namely, it was a Tanis to give Esther Siyata Deshmaya, that when she was going into this crazy lion's den of the Achashverosh, that he wouldn't kill her. So we are left with the fact that apparently there was no tshuva, or we said before that Chazal say there was a tshuva, that Gedoyle Asoras Tabas. So we're left with this concept that okay, there was a tshuva, but it was not a part of the story. It was not required for the story. The Yeshua would have happened even without the tshuva. Azoy, that's what I argued. And the Hashgacha had geführt that I'm learning Hazinu just now, and I'm trying to be my eye in a little bit in what's going on in this unbelievable Shira. So there's a Ramban at the end of Hazinu who sort of sums up what the Shira is saying. He starts off, "V'hine Ashira Azois Asher Hibonu Le'ed Emes V'Neman Tagit Kol Hamotzos Asono Bebiyo." He says it's such a wonderful shira. It tells us everything that's going to happen, and it's just unbelievably great. Now, then he goes on. This much further along. I'm going now to the last half or the last third of that Ramban. It's on Pasuk Mem. So I'm going to read to you over here like this. He says it's absolutely clear that when Hazinu ends on a high note and tells us that in the end everything is going to be alright, what end is it referring to? It must be that it had the Geula HaAsido in mind. Why? Yeah, it says the last pasuk in the Hazinu says Harninu Goyim Amal Gidam Avod of Yikam, that the nations are going to praise the Jews. Well, by Sheni they didn't praise the Jews. Rak lo agu aleihem, but they made fun of them. Maha Yehudim Hoim Lolem Oisim in Nehemiah, when they were building the wall in Yerushalayim, they all came and made fun of them. Ha ha ha! What do you think you're doing over here? Furthermore, it says Haninu Goyim Amor Kidam Avod of Yikon. The Rabbanisham wasn't Noikem on the Dam Avod by the Bayes Sheni. So therefore it can't be going on the Yeshua of the Bayes Sheni. Why did the Rabban think that maybe we would think that it's going on the Yeshua of the Bayis Sheni? Why did the Ramban think that we might be inclined to learn like that? I think that's pashut, because if you look at the Shira, you'll see that constantly what the Shira is saying is, don't trust Avodah Zarah. You have to get away from Avodah Zarah. And all the tzoras and troubles which came to Klal Yisrael came about because of Avodah Zarah. So that sounds very much like the Bayis Sheni, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, but it doesn't certainly mean our Tkufa today. Nobody serves Avodah Zarah today, because the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah were mispalel that the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah should be taken away from us. So there's no Avodah Zarah today. So Bishlama, if we're talking about the Yeshua of the Bayis Sheni, that means that in the Bayis Rishon they went into Golas because of Avodah Zarah, and Memela, when they go back to the Bayis Sheni, is because the Yetzirah, Vavoy de Zohar, has been conquered, so it's very good. Sagt aber der Ramban, can you say? Because the Torah says, what's going to happen by that, Yeshua? It's going to happen, Haninu Goyim Amo, that the Goyim are going to jubilate and praise us. That Vuchipad Moshe Amo, and Baal Avdam Avod of Yikam, none of that happened. So it must be going on the Gula Hasida. If it's going on the Gula Hasida, so why is he talking about Avodah Zarah? That's a different problem and has to be solved in its own terms. But it has nothing to do with our Chakira tonight. So we want to know about whether you need tshuva for a Yeshua. Zog the Ramban. V'hine. Listen to this, and it's unbelievable why the Ramban feels it necessary to say so. And I feel that the fact that the Ramban does feel it necessary to say so shows mamash that l'chora I'm right, but of course I don't know. Look what he says: V'hine ein b'shiro hazois t'nai b'tshuva v'avoida. There's nowhere in Shiras Hazinu any implication that the ultimate Yeshua, which the Shira predicts, will only come about if we do tshuva or if we do certain forms of avoda. Statement doesn't say anything about it. Rak hi shta edus shenase horoes v'nuchal, that we're going to be like sunk into the filth of roes. And that nevertheless, Shehu Yisborach Yaseh Bono B'Techochas Chemo is going to punish it, us. Aber lo Yashbiz Zichreinu, he's not going to be Mashbiz our Sechla, he's not going to destroy us. Omati Afehem Ashbiso Me'eno Zichram, there was a danger that he would do that. But, in fact, he won't, and he doesn't. So, Yoshev B'Yisnachem, the Yifra min ha'oivim b'chaboy ha'kosho v'agdoylo v'achazoko v'yichapel chatoseinu l'man shemo im kein ha'shiru ha'zois haftocho mevu eres b'gulu ha'asido al kochon shel minim. Azedos, sagt der Ramban, that Hazino is talking about the ultimate Yeshua, the Yeshua when the Melech HaMashiach is going to come. That is what Hazino is talking about. Moira in the world. That is what Hazina is talking about. And the Ramban says, how do I know it? Because it doesn't say if you do tshuva. What does the Ramban have to say that for? State in the Ramban very, very clearly that the Geula HaCharoina is not going to be dependent on tshuva. Like the MSS and the Gevorah and Sanhedrin, you have a machlokes tanoim. One says that you have to do tshuva before the Mashiach comes. The other one says they don't have to do tshuva. Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi aleihem melech kosher kahaman v'hem shovim. It's much better that you do need some kind of a tshuva, but it doesn't have to be from within ourselves, but a melech kosher kahaman is going to accomplish that with us. But that doesn't say over there that tshuva is the tnai and the geula. Avada gewiss, you need that we should do tshuva in the end. What the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to sit down when Mashiach comes with a bunch of Pasha Yisrael. Avada gewiss, there has to be a tshuva. But the tshuva is not a tnai in the gula. So over here, that's what the Ramban says, very befelish. The raya that we're talking about, the gula hasida over here, the raya that we're talking about the gula hasida is because there's no requirement of tshuva. Moira in the world. Now, by Purim, the Emes is, steht auch wird, und Mordechai Yoda, es kol asher nasa, that Mordechai knew everything that was happening. So Rashi brings over there that the Baal HaChalayim told Mordechai that the Gezeiro Lemailo, when Homan made a Gezeiro, Lehashmid, Larag, Lehabed, that was Paskin in Shemayim, that the Yidden Hataka betrayed their Tafkid completely, and that they were Chayiv, Lehashmid, Larag, Lehabed. As I said, that's what I said. Motcha Yoda, he knew that it wasn't only some craziness from Homan who was a lunatic, but Faked and Shemayim, they had chasmed on that. They had chasmed on that we're higher l'hashmed l'arug l'abed. So that's a Yeshua me'en of Achas Hayomim. In other words, without the Yeshua, we would have disappeared. So that is a Yeshua of Achas Hayomim. And that Yeshua, the Ramban says, the Yeshua of Achris Hayomim is not Musna on Tshuva, so I think it follows that the Yeshua of Purim was also not Musna Tshuva, and that's why it doesn't say anything about it in the Megillah. It doesn't say that they did Tshuva. And forget, that's the whole Gadlus. That's the Gadlus to understand. That's the power of Megillas Esther. The power of Megillas Esther is to say that there's a yachas between the Ribbono Shloim and ourselves, that when the time comes, so there's not going to be any problems, and there's not going to be any show me your visa. Do you have a visa to Eretz Yisrael? Do you have a visa into my embrace? Can I embrace you, or have you done tshuva on all your chatoim already? None of that is going to rise up. The yachas of the Ribbono Shel to us is unconditional. There's an unconditional yachas. Certainly we have to come on to the rachamim of the Ribbono Shel. Ramban says earlier that with Midas Hadin, it's very possible that we would have been chayev to be destroyed. But there is a Midas Rachamim. Now we're not learning Hazinu. But for us, the Iker Yesoid, which is important over here, is to say that the Yeshua of Achris Hayomim is not conditioned on any tshuva. And I think that by inference, it would also be true that the Yeshua of Purim was not conditioned by tshuva. They did tshuva, and the truth is they fasted for Esther, but none of that had any shaykhus to the Yeshua. The Yeshua is not conditioned by tshuva. And why is that so important to me? It's important to me because it shows that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves his Yidden, and we can even be bonim soirim. The Midrash says that even bad bonim and bonim, rebellious bonim, and all kinds of bonim, they're still called bonim. We can't and we won't. The kesher between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam will never be weakened and will never be broken. And that is the yesod which I wanted to share with you. Now, my friend, I don't think he was maskim to me. He was said, well, he's going to have to do research to see whether we don't find that an important prat in a certain story was not left out in that story and that we know it from a different mock-up. He's looking. I wish him all the luck in the world. I personally don't think that he'll find it, because my seichel just tells me that you can't leave out an ikka nekuda in the story. So that's it for Purim this year, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Purim. And now we're going from one Geula, L'Hasbich Geula L'Geula, from the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Pesach. We should be zeichel to see a Geula Shlema.